That is one of my favorite Christmas songs ever. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Good morning. Could you ask for a more beautiful backdrop here for a Christmas feeling, bringing the Christmas spirit into our sanctuary? It's gorgeous. So I have a confession to make. Are you ready? I love Christmas movies. And the sappier, the better. This is the confession part of it, I even watch some Hallmark Christmas movies every year. Oh, I got applause for that one, yes. And one of the reasons I love them so much is because they have metaphysical meaning to them. You know, it's like any kind of story that there is metaphysics in it, and that the characters in the story are parts of ourselves. The characters that we see on the screen can reflect what's going on within us. And so I love those kind of stories. And this morning I wanted to start with a little bit of Christmas trivia. Are you up for it? So I'm going to play a little clips from some Christmas movies, and when you know what it is, just shout it out. All right, you ready?
What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Elf. Yes, that's Elf. Now, think about the story of Elf. He finds out that what he thought he was all of his life was not the truth about him. Thought he was an elf, noticed that he was bigger than everyone else, didn't quite fit the way everybody else did. Kind of felt like a misfit in some ways, but he discovers he's actually human, and off he goes to meet his family and have a great adventure. So in your own life, have you ever felt like a misfit? Anyone? Yes. Or have you ever found that what you thought you were, that you're much more beyond that? Now here's a good Christmas story for us to take on. That maybe who we think we are, bless you, is not the whole truth about us. Maybe there's more than meets the eye. Okay, so here's the next one.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon?
Want the moon?
Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Barry.
I'll take it.
All right. And that was It's a Wonderful Life. So George Bailey is shown what the world would have been like without him there, how life would have been different if he hadn't been born. So I want you to think about in your own life, imagine being shown how different life would be without you in it, making a difference. What difference are you making in the world? Okay, here comes another one. Here's music.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, and for all.
Okay, who is that? Charlie Brown. Have you ever felt like Charlie Brown? Your whole life. Yes. Can you relate with Charlie Brown? You ever felt like your little Christmas tree is a Charlie Brown tree, that's how life is for you? It's just kind of not good enough. It's not as good as other people. You know, things, why do these things happen to me? But in this movie, he finds out the real meaning of Christmas. And that's where we want to go with it. That even though life may feel that way to us, the truth about who we are and about how life is magnificent. Isn't that cool? Yes. All right, one more.
Before I draw nearer to that stone, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that must be? Or are the only shadows of things that might be?
That was, of course, Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. When you hear the name Scrooge, what does it make you think of? What words would you use to describe him? Say again. Miser. Stingy, grouchy, selfish, mean, cruel, all those things. If you call somebody a Scrooge, there's no mistake what you mean by that, right? And yet, by the end of this movie, he has become a benefactor for Tiny Tim and his family, for his own family, for the whole community. He's grown into that. He did a total about face. And why? What was it that did that for him? Well, he was shown very clearly how his life was going to end up if he stayed on the path he was on. If he continued in that trajectory, there's the future for him. And I love the metaphysics of this story, that our life, we create our life through the beliefs and the habits and the actions and the thoughts and the words that we habitually speak or act in that way, right? And so isn't that an interesting perspective to look at? What am I doing right now? Where is it taking me? So imagine just being sped up and seeing from at the end of your life, looking back and saying, wow, here I am, because I was in this pathway that I'm following here. And the question we want to ask ourselves is that where we want to go? You know, Scrooge first visited the past and saw with regret how he had begun to value monetary gain over relationships, how he had let ambition blind him and supersede his humanity, how he had hardened himself against being hurt in relationships, loneliness. And then he visited the present time, and he saw what he was missing with his family. He saw what was going on right then and realized what he was ignoring, what he was missing out on. And then finally he's shown very clearly what's in store for him if he follows that trajectory. So I just want you to imagine with me right now that we're going to speed up to the end of your life and take a look back and see how your life has been. See how your life has been. And if there was a movie made about you for Christmas, how would you want it to end? How would you know, because we're writing the script right now, right? We realize that. We're all writing the script right now. But here's the good news. If we don't like where we're heading, we can change that. The quantum science tells us that there are infinite possibilities. There are countless probable futures that are moving outward from us right here, right now. And we have the power to make a shift in whatever way we want to do. We can do it right here, right now. But it takes some work. It takes some work. We have to, you know, we have some neural architecture that might need some rerouting. And that takes some work. It's not just a snap of our finger. It can be. Ebenezer was very motivated to make the change. And that's the kind of energy we need to make these changes. That's the kind of motivation. Because our brain is a record of the past. And as long as we're just following that same route, those ingrained neural pathways, you know, just following along, then our lives remain the same. It takes committed, authentic action to make a change, to transform our lives. And when I look at people who have transformed their lives, I see the secret sauce is motivation. Dr. Joe Dispenza is very motivated to heal his spine. He was in a car accident where he was riding his bike and he was hit by an SUV. It shattered vertebrae in his back. Now, he was a chiropractor, so he understood what that meant. And the doctors, all of the doctors were in agreement with him that he had to have a rod put through his back, that he could never get his mobility back, but if he didn't do it, he was going to probably never walk again. And so he was motivated enough to spend hour after hour after hour in meditation, affirming and visualizing wholeness. He wanted to overcome his habitual belief system in order to heal. And he was healed in weeks. It's miraculous. And we have stories like that in Unity. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, was very motivated to heal from tuberculosis. So that she sat every night in hour after hour, blessing her body with healing, apologizing to every single cell for ever believing it was anything less than whole and perfect. And it took her 2 years, but she was healed from tuberculosis, which at that time was considered incurable. But she had been told she had 6 more months to live, so she was very motivated to do the work. Mary, very motivated to do the work. And Scrooge was shocked into seeing where he was going to end up. Very motivated to change, to make every single day count that he had left. So where is your life leading you? And is it going where you want it to go? Because it's not about letting fear drive us. It's about wanting to make the leap to our greater potential, being who we've come here to be, to actually stepping out on that spiritual path and not letting this old limited belief system keep us small. There's a story told of a monk who has a student, and the student comes to him and says, "How can I find God?" And so the monk takes him to a nearby lake, walks in with him, grabs his head, sticks it under the water, and holds him there. And there's the student trying to move, thrashing around, trying to get out, and finally he brings him up. He takes the oxygen, sputtering and coughing, and accuses the monk of trying to drown him. And the monk says, "What did you want more than anything when you were under there?" And he said, "Air, that's all I could think about." He said, "Well, when you want God as much as you wanted air, you'll find God." Now, I do not recommend this teaching method. We believe in the living curriculum here at Unity, but you won't find that kind of lessons going on in our youth programs. However, the point is well taken. When we're distracted by the outer world, looking out there, we miss what's in here. We get off track. We let ambition blind us to who we really are. And here's the thing about it. We'll never find what we're looking for when we do that. And here's why. Because what we're looking for is what we are. The eye with which I see God is the same one with which God sees me. One sight, one knowledge, one love. Meister Eckhart. One love. That's the true purpose of life. That's the beautiful message of Christmas, is to find that true love within us and be it in the world. This time of year, we look back to the past. We look back at the last 12 months, see what's happened this year, where we've come from, how far we've come. We sort of take stock. We also look ahead to the new year. What is it we want to bring forth in our life? What's the new and the wondrous that we want to make happen? But between that, between looking at the past and what we need to let go of and looking at the up here to see where we want to go and what we have to do, that's the present. That's where it has to happen. Do you see? That's the only place that shift can happen is the present, the Christmas present. It's the only time we can change. The only time we can transform is now. And it doesn't matter what we're dragging with us from the past. It can all change in an instant if we have the motivation to do it. If we're willing to do the work, we can become who we really are. I love this. That's what awakening is all about. You know? That's what it is. It's waking up to who we really are. Ernest Holmes, the New Thought teacher, said this: the power of God within us is like a sleeping giant which must be awakened so that it may spring into action. And that is a sleeping giant there. This is my home province of Ontario. That's called the sleeping giant. But we can also, let's take the word God and replace it with the word love. The power of love is like a sleeping giant within us, which must be awakened so that it can spring forth into action. And that is so illustrated so clearly by Charles Dickens in this movie. So when Ebenezer woke up, right, he woke up from his dream, he found out what? That, there was still time. He could change his life. He wasn't doomed to that future. What did he do? Do you remember that? Let's just see what he does.
I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas, Ebenezer!
He was pretty happy. Light as a feather, happy as an angel, merry as a schoolboy. He goes to the window, finds the young boy, tells him to go down and buy the goose in the window for the Cratchit family. He visits his nephew and family and makes amends for all those years of selfish behavior. Now, what he did not do was enroll in a self-improvement course. He didn't rush off to find an ashram to go and move into or to think about the years of study ahead of him. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But he just changed. He woke up. He woke up to the folly of his ways. And he was so transformed by it that he shifted into his true heart-centered self, and the blinders dropped. And even though this is a fictional story, it has a ring of truth to it. Do you feel that? That's how our life can be when we awaken from this dream of separation. That's how our life can change. When we see we are so much more than we thought. When we get the true meaning of Christmas. When we see that we've spent our lives protecting our egos, you know, that false identity that we're not, living within parameters of limitation that we've constructed ourselves. When we see it as clearly as he did, transformation is not only possible, it is inevitable. We are compelled to change. We're motivated to give, to bless the world, and it becomes our oxygen. So that is the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, the awakening of the true identity enthroned within us, the eternal innocence of the shimmering radiance of divine love. That's what you are. That's who you really are. And shifting into that knowingness and being it. So Alan Cohen asks this question: if you were told that the truth about you would be revealed for all the world to see, would the prospect excite you or frighten you? And if the answer is frighten, then what do you need to change to get on a new trajectory? So are you ready for a new way of living? Are you tired of internal battles struggling to make it as a separate self? Have you grown weary of listening to the judgmental, egoic mind? Yes. Sorry. Get a little passionate on this one. In this time of political unrest that surrounds us, increase in hate crimes, xenophobia, homophobia, environmental degradation, all those things, can you see how we're being called to a higher place? Do you see how this can be our awakening moment? Like Ebenezer, if we see where the world is going, that can be our wake-up call. And we can use it to transform our lives, to move beyond the limiting beliefs that we have bought into and step into who we truly are, something greater, something beyond what we've seen in the past. But we have to look with our spiritual eyes, the heart. The heart sees a much vaster terrain than the limited egoic vision does. Look within to the universe that lives in your own heart and let it lead you. Listen. Listen to spirit. Get on the joy frequency. Find something that inspires you, excites you, and follow that star, because you are so much more than you know. Is this the moment the sleeping giant's awakening?
Yes.
Is this the Christmas we're actually going to get the present of the presents? So like Elf, maybe it's time for us to discover who we really are. Then strike out and be it. Like Charlie Brown, maybe this is the year we get the true meaning of Christmas. Like George Bailey, this is when we can see that the world is a much better place because we're in it. And like Ebenezer, it's never too late to step into who we've come here to be and transform our lives. Now is the time, and we are the ones. God bless.